Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to another special COVID edition of the Brewhio Podcast. I'm practicing social distancing here at the Brewhio Studios, and by social distancing, I mean I've spread Rob Dog's butt cheeks a good 6 to 8 inches apart.
It kind of hurt, too. Are I supposed to spread that far?
You didn't say it hurt whenever I was doing it.
Well, I mean, in the moment.
Fucking weirdo.
I don't want to ruin it.
I'm the delicious Nickalicious.
Hey, everybody. I'm the dog of Rob. What's going on?
I'm here with my favorite friend on my shiny steed, Rob Digny Dingle Dog.
Hopefully everybody's doing good. Everybody's feeling great.
I hope you're all
COVID-free.
I hope you're all fucking dead, and you're listening to us from the other side. That's what would really make us happy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that you died, but just like that you're listening to us on the other side.
Yeah. There's not a puffy nipple amongst you.
Speaking of puffy nipples.
Sure.
I want to set the record straight. If you have puffy nipples and you're here to listen to us, thank you for being here with us. I know life is hard and you wake up every day with puffy nipples and it doesn't get much worse than that. But I just want to say we're here for you and thank you for being here.
Yeah. Same. I agree. That's
okay.
Yeah.
I don't like to go back and forth about it. I just like to be up front. I'm okay with puffy nipples. I
hate to get sentimental right off the bat, but...
You're a man with puffy nipples. Just might as well call us the podcast for men with puffy nipples.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Or as they used to say in prison, I had a Mexican porter that worked for me, mop floors, and he would always say, lo es lo que es, like it is what it is, but he'd say in Spanish. And then I would just, every day, I look at him and be like, lo es lo que es, and he'd be like, no. he wasn't fucking with me. He wasn't trying to have it.
Nope.
Let's talk about something for a second. We have new Patreon pledges from...
Okay, thank you, guys.
Dayton, Ohio Paranormal.
Okay, cool.
If you are in the Dayton area and you want to go check those guys out, I forgot to write it down, but I think it's Dayton Paranormal, DaytonOhioParanormal@gmail.com. I will put it in the show notes, but if you're in Dayton and you have something spooky going on you want checked out, you can go to Dayton, Ohio Paranormal, and they will investigate this shit for you.
I think one of my kids are a demon, so I might have to get a hold of them.
They're going to really be demons now. Yeah. Governor just announced that kids are not going back to school.
I know. I get to add teacher to my resume now, though.
I'm not adding that to my resume. I'm not good at it. I don't know how to balance it.
At least I can add management now, I would assume.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely something that's going to... I talked to my mom earlier. She said, it made me really sad when she said this, but she said, I don't think I'll live to see... whenever things go back to normal. And my mom is not that old.
Not
and I
at
think,
all.
I don't think she thinks she's going to die soon, but I think she thinks that this is the new way of life going forward. And I said, I made her feel really old for a second. I said, what about that scar you have on your shoulder? Like they all old people have that scar on their shoulder from a shot they got when they were younger.
Right.
I think it's polio or something like that. And she said, that didn't fucking, that's not the fucking same thing, Nick. So once they get a vaccine, it should be a little bit better. Should be, you know, we just got to take and fucking shoot each other with heroin or whatever they find that works as a vaccine.
Yeah, Narcan.
Yes, you can with Narcan.
Next, here, let's see here. We got Crystal Elkin. Thank you very much.
Banjo dope.
All right. That's fucking sweet.
Sounds like where Johnny Cash would hide his stash when he's in prison.
Next, we got Disco Hammer.
Thank you, Disco Hammer.
Thank you.
And Frank the Septic Tank Cortez.
They're not taking them big greasy shits.
Yeah, he's obviously got some goblin fucking got turds.
White Castle turds.
I had White Castle this week.
Yes, you did.
My
that's right, I snapped.
Yes, you did.
Oh, man.
I was right by my brother. He was like, that's not fucking real. And then you said, I just had 8 jalapeno sliders. And I was like, yeah, that's real, buddy.
100% man. There is no doubt about what I had a situation.
Yeah.
My family has shunned me. They don't wish to speak to me any longer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't wish to be of an acquaintance to me, and I can't quite figure it out. I think it has a lot to do with this.
I would think so.
A lot to do with this. Okay. Oh, God, what the fuck? I always forget what the fuck I'm doing here. We got a newspaper article. Florida Man. This is a Florida Man article, Rob Dog.
Yes, those are the best.
Not necessarily public Florida Man. This is in the penal system.
Hey, penal.
An argument over passing gas and a request for a courtesy flush after using a jail toilet led to a Florida man beating his cellmate, according to Monroe County Sheriff's Office.
Nice.
For those of you that don't know, Rob, do you know what a courtesy flush is?
Yeah, courtesy flush is when you take a shit. Well, you can do it a couple different ways, I guess, but you got to flush your turd down first before you wipe your ass. That's how I do it.
Proper protocol where I was taught is as soon as that mud hits the water, you're simultaneously flushing.
Yep.
But on the flip side of that, what they would do is some of them would smoke marijuanas, and it's 420 today.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking dope heads out there, you drug addicts. Smoke them if you got them, whatever. They would put a towel over their head, and they would put their face up to the water of the toilet, and they would drape the towel over their head, over the toilet, and they would inhale from their joint and blow it in the toilet. And as soon as they blow, they would flush the toilet. So it would flush all the smoke, all the marijuana, okay. All the marijuana smoke. And then, you know, big boss man with his billy club walking down the range would never smell it because you're flushing it all the way down the toilet.
All right.
Same premise with a courtesy flush.
That's true.
You got that big old horse shit coming out, and you got to flush it to get rid of it, to get rid of that smell. And actually, it's something that we practice here at my home. We have more than one bathroom, but sometimes, for whatever reason, my kids are afraid to hear the toilet flush in our second bathroom. Fuck kids, I don't know. They're really a different animal. They're a different beast. Perfectly good bathroom, nothing wrong with it, but they don't like how loud the toilet is. To the point, I don't ever use this bathroom, and then sometimes it will be the closest bathroom to me, and I'll open up the lid, and there's just a turd that's laying there dead from a 3-week-old turd laying there. Like, it's just looking at me like, please give me water. I'm tired of drinking my own juices.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, Mr. Turd.
Shit.
You ride?
So I flush him, and there he goes.
This looks like a snake turd.
And I go.
Dried up and white.
Looks like SpongeBob when he's not in the water.
Yeah. Yet.
His lips are all crusty.
Water!
And I go to my kids and said, man, who did that?
I got no fucking idea.
Fucking kids, man.
Must have been Ace.
Yeah,
who was definitely an animal.
Deputies say Guilford Joseph Abshire, 53 years old, was sharing a cell with a 65-year-old man on April 6th when the man got upset with him for passing gas. That's a fart. A few minutes later, around 7... Oh, so it was a morning shit. Around 7:30 a.m., Abshire used their shared toilet, and afterward, the victim asked Abshire to provide a courtesy flush to help with the overwhelming odor, according to the report. At that point, deputies said Abshire started kicking the victim, who was on the bottom bunk. The man got up, but then Abshire grabbed him by the throat and threw him across the cell before deputies came in and detained him, records show. The victim, who was in jail for violating his DUI and drug possession-related probation, suffered 3 broken ribs and a broken nose. Abshire is facing battery-related charges in connection with the incident, all because he didn't want to smell another man's fucking butthole. And he said, flush it. That's a big deal. That's big. That's
yeah. I mean, they're not getting airflow in there. So I mean, if you're dropping a big deuce, and them prison food deuces are no fucking joke, man.
In prison,
it's like a block of fucking cheese coming out of your ass.
It is. Or a block going in. It depends on what you're up to at, the,
exactly.
at that given time.
Yeah.
In prison, it's all about respect, you know, or jail, wherever this fucking took place. It's all about respect. And one of the respect codes is to courtesy flush.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you don't, and these things are, cells are fucking tiny. So, I mean,
they are.
That's all you want to do, sit there for fucking 40 minutes to smell your
this guy's
monkey's ass.
And what I'm picturing in my head, it's this 65-year-old guy. It's his first time in jail. He just sits down. He's been squeezing it for 7 days because he's afraid to move in front of everybody. And then he's laying there 7:30 watching the news, watching whatever comes on at 7:30 in the morning. But
could you plug your ears, please?
Eureka's Castle. And he's like, oh, man, I can't do it anymore. He thought about shitting in his pillowcase when his bunkie was asleep.
Oh, yeah.
He thought about shitting his underwear, his pants, just sitting in it. Either way.
Wait until he got to the shower that day and just shit down the drain.
Either way, you're going to piss some people off.
Waffle, stop it.
So finally, he hops up on the throne. He has no idea what he's doing. It's like a baby giraffe learning how to walk, trying to take a shit for the first time in prison.
That's adorable.
He learned some shit, though. Got some ribs broken.
There you go. Yep. That'll teach you.
I'm going to make it where the poop won't come out. I'll beat your white ass is what I'm going to do right now.
Good old prison rape joke. Can't ever get tired of those.
I saw the picture of the guy. They're definitely some, they look like they're motorcycle Nazis or something like that.
Okay.
I'm glad they
Makes
beat,
sense.
Yeah, I'm glad they beat each other up. It is what it is.
Happy ending.
Oh.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Man, we got a really fun episode for you this week. It's a paranormal vortex called Bridgewater Triangle. And I keep on wanting to call it Bermuda Triangle. That's not correct.
No, not.
I'm sorry, Rob. That cat
okay, man.
Lays in your spot when I'm up here and you're
no,
not
man.
Here.
It's cool.
It's all about the fuzzies.
The pussies are just attracted to me, man.
Speaking of pussy.
It's a curse.
I heard a really funny joke this week. You
okay.
want to hear it?
I do.
All right. So there's this dad sitting on the chair watching the big game, and he's eating peanuts, and he's just flipping them up in the air, and he's catching them in his mouth. He's just sitting there watching the game, you know, having some peanuts, flipping them up in the air, catching them. And then he flips one in the air, and then his wife calls for him, and he looks over, and the peanut goes in his ear. Gets stuck. The peanut gets stuck
in
his
ear.
Oh,
man. It's not good.
Lodged. Can't get it out. So then his wife comes over there. She's trying to help him dig out the peanut, trying to dig it out. They're just making it work. They're just burying the peanut deeper in this guy's head. And finally, she says, sweetheart, we got to take you to the hospital. And he says, I don't want to go to the fucking hospital. I can get this peanut out. They try a little bit longer. They can't get the peanut out. So then they go to their daughter. She's sitting in the other room with her boyfriend. They're watching the movie. They say, guys, we got to take him to the emergency room. He's got a peanut stuck in his ear. So then the boyfriend comes in there. He's like, I've dealt with this before. I think I can get it out. So he puts two fingers up the dad's nose, and he says, pretend like you're blowing your nose. So the dad, he blows really hard, and lo and behold, the fucking peanut shoots out of his ear. The peanut is out of, he's always like, the dad is celebrating. Like, you're swell. You know, normally dads hate boyfriends, but he's excited for this boyfriend. So they go back in the other room, start watching their movie, and the wife says, man, he was really good under pressure right there. He didn't panic at all. I wonder what he's going to be when he grows up. And the dad said, well, judging by the smell of his fingers, he's going to be our son-in-law. God damn it. He was fingering his daughter and he didn't even got me so mad.
Oh, man.
Is that the worst one you've ever heard or what?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty rough, isn't
it? I was waiting on it to be like peanut related, but
no, it wasn't.
You got the old switcheroo.
He has to be a peanut allergy. For all you fucking kids out there that ruined my snack time in school because you have a peanut allergy, I hope you're laying in a fucking grave with the puffy nipple. Or I hope you're laying in a grave right now. God. When we were kids, kids didn't die from peanuts.
No.
They just didn't fucking eat them.
Right. It's just that fucking simple.
You'd say, hey, Timmy, you want a peanut butter? You want PB&J? And he'd say, no, I'll fucking die. And then, all right, I'm not giving you one.
That kid usually got beat up, though.
Yeah, he did. Shove peanuts up his ass.
Hold him down. Shove him into his foreskin.
And by shoving peanuts up his ass, I mean we'd shove penises up his ass.
Turds.
A little slip of the tongue right there.
Just poop out our own turds and...
We used to sword fight with our own turds in school. I don't know if Rob's ever told you that.
No, I don't think so.
Like clockwork, we're recording a podcast, so my wife thinks it's a fantastic idea to draw a bath for all of our children. So that jet humming roar you hear in the background, that's my kids not being dirty. I hope you can appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
In COVID-19. All right. God damn it. What are we doing? Kennedy assassination. No. Bridgewater Triangle. All right, I'm locked in, Rob.
All right, man.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I got to breathe. I had a lot to say at the beginning of the episode right there.
It's all good, man.
Yeah. I painted my steps this week. I feel like I'm going to fucking die. I'm sore. My ass hurts. My back hurts. I'm fucking old and fat. Located in southeastern Massachusetts. I don't know if I have a good Boston accent or not. We're from Boston, you bastards. I don't know.
That's close.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
It's 200 square miles, the triangle that we're speaking of. And oftentimes when you hear me speak of a triangle, I'm talking about nipple to nipple to dick hole back up to nipple.
Okay.
That's the triangle I'm talking about.
It's a triangle of love.
When you're washing, that's where you got to really dig in deep. You got to settle in that zone right there.
Yeah.
And Rob, it's going to happen to you because I've seen the way you eat. You're going to start putting on a lot of weight like me, and you're going to be about 485 pounds just like me.
Yeah.
And then you have to add the neck and underneath the tits to the triangle. Well, that's kind of part of the triangle already. Okay. You got to add underneath the neck.
I get that. Yeah.
And also with this beard. Oh, you can hear that. Really getting really big. That thing stinks sometimes. It'll trap everything. Every foreign smell you've dealt with.
Yeah, I keep getting stuff in mine, and I'd cut mine down just because of that same exact reason.
The other day, my wife packed me lasagna for work, and at work, they ordered a pizza. Mm-hmm. And she told me when I got home, she gave me a kiss, and she said, your beard smells like hot wings, which they ordered hot wings with the pizza. And I said, you fucking got me. She said, you didn't eat the lasagna, did you? I said, I had hot wings.
Fuck the lasagna, there was hot wings.
It was really good lasagna I ate the following day, but, you know, the beard, it traps that shit.
They went in Rome, man.
Yeah. So this 200 square mile triangle, your Bridgewater Triangle, it has been the area of so much paranormal funny business, so much paranormal hanky-panky, it's been dubbed the Bridgewater Triangle, a paranormal vortex.
Ooh.
And I didn't know this. There's many paranormal, I guess they call them vile vortices. We might have talked about these in the D'Outlaw of Past episode. There's this crypto researcher that theorizes that there's these vile vortices all over the world. They're stationary, but they have electromagnetic pole something where all kinds of funny business goes down at these vortices. And you can't stop it. All you can do is just sit back and watch shit go down.
Hell yeah.
But the research recommends that we don't have all of these paranormal vortices nailed down. That there's a lot of them around that we don't know about. And that a lot of these places that we research, you know, Stardust Ranch for one, Skinwalker Ranch,
Neverland Ranch.
Yeah. That's one for sure. All these places, they have all this weird, fucking funny paranormal, but not just one isolated ghost. It's all kinds of different stuff. And this could be a good explanation for all this stuff going on.
Hell yeah.
The three points of this triangle are, and forgive me if you're from Massa-fucking-chusetts, because these are some stupid, well, the one's pretty easy, but Rehoboth, Freetown, and Abington, which are all in Massachusetts, make up the three points of this triangle-ish shaped area. One interesting area of note inside this triangle is the Hockomock Swamp.
Yes.
and the Freetown Fall River State Forest, but the Hockomock Swamp, that's where some some real good shit's going down, Rob Dog.
Sounds like it.
A cryptozoologist author named Lauren Coleman coined the term in her book, Mysterious America, and I think it was actually written in 1983, but I have 1970s written down. Long before Europeans settled in America, long before the Brits came over and took all of our fucking shit, well, took all the Native American shit, the Native Americans called the area around Bridgewater Triangle home. They were the Wampanoag Indian tribe.
Yeah.
They were the ones that named the Hockomock Swamp. It wasn't a popular area amongst the Indians, as the Hockomock translates the name of it translates to. So it's the Wampanoag Indians and it's the Hockomock Swamp. Hockomock translates to the place where spirits dwell.
I swear we're not just making up words.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm hawking a loogie.
Yeah, it really does.
In this area, there have been artifacts discovered that show humans inhabited this area as far back as 9,000 years ago.
Hell
That's
yeah.
a long fucking time, dude.
Hell yeah.
I always wonder. And it, look, there comes Bruce. He's too old and stupid. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do right now. I love having that window open, watching the animals just panic. Steps, he's gone up and down 5 million times. No fucking clue what he's doing. And I like to think about where the first humans that ever were in America, what were they like? Where did they come from? But 9,000 years ago, that was probably some really bad porn to watch. Probably really small dick. He was right in between evolution. He had a red rocket. She definitely had a huge boucher because Bush is trashy to me. I like to call it a boucher. Just like if you're
French it up.
Someone offers you a bush beer, you say, get the fucking shit out of here. Either if they call it Bush, they're a devil in sheep's skin or a wolf in sheep's, whatever the fuck they say. Fool me once. They call it Bush. That man is a professional Bush beer drinker. But if you're like someone that doesn't fancy the Bush beer, and I like to call it a boucher.
Yeah.
To kind of church it up a little bit. But if they call it Bush, you're safe. If they call it Bush, you want a Bush beer? Get the fuck out of here.
No matter what you call it, I don't like Bush.
Oh, well, to each their own, my friend. To each their own.
Not a fan.
No. Oh, look, there comes the kids. You guys could probably hear them in a minute. It's just like Rob's house back in the early 2000s.
Almost.
When we first started making this piece of shit show. While the swamp did give the Indians the heebie-jeebies, it was used for feeding their families. The swamp was an abundant source of game for the Indians, so they had to go around the swamp, even though they were fucking terrified of it. The Indians did use some portions of the swamp for sacred burial grounds, and that's an important thing to keep in mind right here, is they did use the swamp to bury all the important dead people in the Indian tribe. I don't know if the Wampanoags even had tribes, or if they were called a gaggle of Indians. I don't know what they were called. The swamp was used as a fortress at one point by the Indians during an English invasion. They launched attacks from the swamp, and the English one of them Euro-Americans, whoever they were, that were fighting against the Indians, they couldn't figure out where the fuck they were attacking from because these guys were nestled down, hunkered in the swamps, and they knew that was kind of uninhabitable area for humans. So the people they were fighting against, they weren't necessarily suspecting the Indians to be coming from the swamp, but nonetheless, they used it as a fortress. We know that this eventually did not work out for the Indians. They would go on to lose all of their land in America for the most part. The chief of the Wampanoag, he did die and get beheaded in battle. And nice.
That's a way to go. That's a warrior's death.
It is a warrior's death. Very admirable.
Yeah.
Going down swinging.
Yeah, fucking behead me. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, just don't start with my dick. Yeah. Early Euro-Americans would eventually drain portions of the swamp to use it as a farmland. In 1659, the land was officially purchased, in quotation marks.
And draining the swamp has always been cool.
I guess. Don't get me started. Don't get them started. I don't fucking care, but don't get them started. It was purchased by the settlers from the Indians in Freetown. What a creative name for a town.
Right, right. Very original.
Freetown was established in 1683. For good reason, it is said that before the Indians finally relinquished control of the land or, quote, unquote, sold it, they cursed the area. The swamp and everything around it was cursed by the Indians. They said, fuck this place. You can have it. That's like when people get foreclosed in their houses and they dump Quikrete down the toilets.
Oh, man, that's so fucked up.
I've seen it done before, dude. Oh, man, yeah, you get it foreclosed. And that back in, like, you know, 2010,
yeah,
people were fucking their shit up
because mm-hmm.
the banks are just like, give me your house. Give me your house. Give me your house.
Yeah, like, those fucking, like, balloon interest rates.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you make $7 an hour? How about a loan for $450,000? That's what they did to me when I was 18.
Ugh.
They said, I went to the bank, and I was like, I wanted to get a motorcycle loan. I wanted to mm-hmm. get, like, $3,000 for a motorcycle.
Right.
And we get right to the end of the paperwork, and the lady looks up, the banker. She's like, oh, this is, you going to use this to go back and forth to work? And I said, no, not really. Just to poke around, nice weather, whatever, what have you. She said, what about getting your own house? And I was like, I'm 18, dude. Just like freshly 18.
It sounds cool.
And I said, well, never really thought about that before. And then I went home and I talked to my dad about it. And he's like, do not get a fucking house right now. You do not need a house.
Right.
But I got a house and it was a very poor mistake because they said, like I said, you make $5 an hour? How about $1 million loan? And they fuck you up, dude.
Yeah. See, I had a friend that they lost theirs because they had one of those fucking ballooning interest rates. So they were like, well, yeah, it changes.
It's going to go up a little.
But yeah, it was like 1 month it would be like real low. The next month it'd be like four times as much.
Oh, dude, that's so bad.
And then it'd go back down low and then it'd be medium. And then, yeah, it was just stupid.
Right at the end, because it got to the point where the house itself was worth probably 20% of what I paid for it mm-hmm. because I bought it right before the collapse.
Right.
And dude, they were not willing to work with you no matter
fuck
what.
No.
Oh God, it was a fucking disaster.
They expected the government to work for them though whenever they needed it.
But that bank that held my loan went out of fucking business. I'm still standing.
Hey.
I'm still standing. Get up on that dick. Okay, so the Indians, they cursed the swamp. They cursed everything around it.
Good.
Later in modern times, I believe this is around the 1960s, archaeologists were attempting to uncover some of the tombs that were buried in the swamp, because I told you that it was an Indian burial ground for all their sacred leaders. When they opened one of the tombs, there was a type of red dust inside of the tomb from remains that were left inside the tomb. I think it's called red ochre. It's spelled O-C-H-R-E. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Ochre?
Ochre, maybe? It's just a red dust from, you know, the remains that were left behind. When they opened up the tomb, the red dust, the red Oprah, it started to bubble, and it pretty much fell through the bottom of the tomb and vanished. Fucking started bubbling, Rob.
That's, like, I don't like it.
Already burping up death.
That's spoopy.
And they said, all right, they took thousands of hundreds of pictures. They were documenting this entire, you know, the entire unfolding of opening up the tomb. When they went to get the pictures developed, the pictures would not develop when they were opening up the tomb. Right now, you've got some really fucking weird shit going on. But that was in the 1960s. This stuff's been going on for a lot longer than that. Indians told stories of puckwudgies
yes.
in the forest.
Hell yeah.
I've never officially finished the Harry Potter series, but I do believe there's mentionings of puckwudgies in the Harry Potter series. Is that correct, Rob?
All the time.
Okay. And I'm reading about these puckwudgies. I'm like, man, these things sound like real pieces of shit.
Yeah, man.
Tell them what a puckwudgie is via whatever the fuck, Wikipedia. That's the only
sure. Puckwudgie is this is a translation by Henry Schoolcraft and is defined as a little wild man of the woods that vanishes, a creature that's found in Delaware and the Wampanoag folklore, sometimes said to be 4 to 5 foot tall. And that's for you weird motherfuckers. It's 120 to 150 centimeters.
What's a centimeter?
What the fuck? I know.
Let me get my dick out. One at a time right here.
Let's see here. So according to the legend, puckwudgies can appear and disappear at will, lure people to their deaths. That's awesome. Use magic, launch poison arrows, and create fire.
Native Americans believed the Pukwudgies were once friendly to humans, but then turned against them and are best left alone. Sounds like it. I'll fucking kill you. According to the lore...
I like they shoot fucking arrows. Not arrows, poison arrows.
Right, not it's even probably, just normal arrows.
It's probably not even poison arrows. They just piss on you. What's a Pukwudgie sound like,
Pukwudgie, probably just exactly... I think that's probably pretty accurate.
Right. That was a guess.
Okay. So according to the lore, a person who is annoyed Pukwudgie would be subject to nasty tricks by it. Or they just walk up and give you a wedgie.
I'm gonna spit
in your asshole. Or subject to being followed by the Pukwudgie, who would cause trouble for them. They are known to kidnap people, push them off of cliffs, attack their victims with short knives and spears. Just tiny little spears. And use sand to blind their victims.
They're toothpicks. They use toothpicks.
It's like little the kebab thing.
The cinnamon covered toothpicks that burn really bad.
Yeah.
You know what these guys probably said after they pushed that person off the cliff?
I can see that, man. I think that sounds perfect. It's probably what they sound like.
Yeah. But there is a story that this is actually from the Boston Globe, and it happened in the Bridgewater Triangle. And this is just a snippet from the story. It says, it was a late night walk in a random neighborhood, silent and still, lost in sleep. Suddenly, William Russo's dog, Samantha, began to shake and quiver, as he describes it.
Stop fucking it.
Rattling like an old Chevy. Russo looked around, listened, and finally heard what was terrifying. What was terrifying the dog, Samantha? Ewan Chu. This is the Pukwudgie talking, dude.
This is all in quotes.
Ewan Chu. Ewan Chu. Kier. Or I could probably use my Pukwudgie.
Yeah, do it. That sounds like it. It sounds so cute. Until you get stabbed with a little spear.
Until you get shot with a poison arrow. Brace yourself for this poisonous arrow. It was a sort of high-pitched wail, is what he describes.
That's what I'm saying, man. We got it.
And then he saw it. Illuminated in the circle of a streetlight was a creature unlike any he'd ever seen. 3 to 4 feet tall, pot-bellied. Okay, kind of looks like me. Big-eyed, covered in hair, and unclothed. He's probably just looking for his skivvies.
See, I picture him to look like Ewoks.
Yeah.
A fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But Pukwudgie's look here. Let me finish the story. Later, as he struggled to make sense of what he'd seen.
Look, tell me that's not a fucking Pukwudgie.
Yeah, that's an Ewok. But
I mean, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Pukwudgies look like a crackhead with a pot belly to me.
I'm going
to
look it up.
All right.
I just expect them to look like Ewoks.
Yeah. When he realized what it was that was beckoning him. He said that it was saying, Ewan Chu, Kier, Kier. He thinks that translated to, we want you, come here, which doesn't... Sounds kind of, I don't know. They are said to be the reason for people being randomly pushed off of cliffs, random disappearances, and mysterious deaths inside the Bridgewater Triangle. These little fucking Pukwudgies. True or false?
False.
You could fit an entire Pukwudgie in my ass.
True.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, comfortably.
If you are a Pukwudgie, please send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you got the Wi-Fi that you're using, what kind of cell phone works best for a Pukwudgie.
And how hairy is your asshole?
Send us a picture of that belly.
Oh, yeah. Nice little pot belly.
And there's a very storied history of unidentified flying objects in the Bridgewater Triangle.
Perfect.
The first documented UFO sighting in the Bridgewater Triangle took place on May 10th of 1760. That's a long fucking time ago. At 10 o'clock that morning, a, quote, sphere of fire. Sphere of fire. Sphere of fire. Sphere of fire. That was pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Was observed over New England.
It was just the fucking sun.
It was. That's how miserable it is in Boston. According to historical records, the UFO emitted light bright enough to cast a shadow in bright sunlight. The sound made by the object, oddly enough, was heard sooner at the middle of the course it took than at the beginning. In Massachusetts, the light was seen in Bridgewater as well as in Roxbury. Like, as in Night of Roxbury, yep. Is the dumbest fucking movie ever made. Bridgewater was again visited on Halloween night 1908, an incident that was well documented in the local newspapers. Two undertakers were driving a carriage from West Bridgewater.
Dead man walking.
I've got holes to dig and souls to... I don't remember what he says now. Something like that.
Something.
Digging holes and burying souls. Two undertakers were driving a carriage from West Bridgewater to the center of Bridgewater when the incident occurred. Shortly after 3 a.m., they described the object as looking like an unusually strong lantern about 2.5 feet in diameter, illuminating a large object resembling a balloon bag. And if some of you are wondering what balloon bag means...
Yeah, please elaborate.
I do believe that's a scrotal. I think they okay. saw a giant dick sack floating through the air is what they... They watched it for at least 40 minutes and other witnesses saw it as well. It
That's
was
how long I usually watch a scrotum for.
Oh, man. I like when never mind. I'm going to say.
I like when it gets smooth and then it gets really wrinkly again.
Mine feels like a turtle shell. I don't know what you're fucking dealing with. Jesus. And to keep a straight, it was seen to hover at times and to keep a straight, steady course at other times. Though one newspaper reported that all of the balloons in which ascensions are made in this state were accounted for, some people who had not seen the object believed that the UFO had been a hot air balloon. To counter this suggestion, one of the undertakers wrote, "I claim that a hot air balloon could not move in a circle or perpendicular at this one as this one did." He also wrote that the object, quote, "moved up and down and seemingly at the will of some individual."
Okay.
UFO. Can't even make the sound anymore. UFO sightings have never stopped in this area either. Two huge UFOs were spotted landing near Route 44 in the Taunton in December of 1976. On March 23rd of 1979, two newsmen from WHDH saw an object shaped like a home plate on a baseball diamond emit a mysterious green substance at the junction of Routes 24 and 106 in Taunton.
Slimer.
It is a Slimer. And that guy's a hot dog eating machine.
Yes, he is.
Also, in January of 1991, a green flying disc was seen in Bridgewater moving slowly and silently at an altitude of about 50 feet, illuminating a large area with a powerful spotlight.
Hmm.
This is just a small sample of the reported UFO sightings in the Bridgewater Triangle. There was also another incident in November of 97. A law enforcement officer working the night shift in Bridgewater saw a very large triangular UFO with three white and two red star-like lights. On December 10th of 1998, a witness near Route 44 in Middleboro saw a strange, brightly lit craft with numerous red, green, and white lights maneuvering over... Say that one for me, Rob Dog. Assa Wompset. Oh. It has Assa Womper Pond in Middleboro. All right. And to go along with all of these wild UFOs, we have a 100 fucking page list here of all the UFO sightings.
Fuck yeah.
In this area.
Hell yeah.
It wouldn't be complete without the existence of what follows some of these UFO sightings, black helicopters. Out of all of the phenomena in the Bridgewater Triangle, it seems to be the frequent buzz of the black helicopters that unnerve people the most. And this stuff is still going on to this day. There seem to be two kinds of these unmarked helicopters that scan the area.
I don't see why people are afraid of black helicopters.
Yeah. Alex Jones can fucking vouch for all of them, honestly. One of them most definitely being a Black Hawk. These crafts fly very low, often just above the tree line. Aerial military exercises are restricted to 500 feet above the tree line and away from residential areas.
Dude, those Blackhawks are fucking dope.
They're fucking wicked.
They're so sweet.
Two rules that the black helicopters of the Bridgewater break, causing alarm. Okay, I'm going to go take some nose spray real quick. God love you.
All right.
Maybe not. I'm just kidding.
Okay, it's okay.
All right, I had to go take some nose spray.
A.K.A. cocaine.
No, it was not cocaine. I told my wife earlier I've never injected or smoked cocaine. Yeah. She has asked me about cocaine. I'm like, I have no fucking clue about cocaine.
Yeah.
I've literally nearly died from taking half of a fucking Oxycontin or whatever it was they gave me for strep throat. Some kind of painkiller.
Right.
Almost fucking died.
Man.
I do not know about cocaine.
Nah. I don't know anything about cocaine. I've only seen it a couple times.
I hear it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For adults, it's a lot of fun. If you're kids, I wouldn't do it.
That shit scares me, man.
Yeah. These allergies, people think I'm a fucking zombie. They said, you got the Corolla. I said, no, it's 2010. It's a good running car. No, you got the virus. No, this is just a... I got allergies, okay? It's that time of the year. I'm the single... This lawn, landscape out here is tended to by one man and one man only. That's me, all right? And I got to bust my ass out there.
It's that time of year, man.
Keeping it plush. Keeping it green.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The next one is...
Thunderbirds.
Yeah. Tell them about Thunderbirds, Rob.
Sure. As editor of a suburban newspaper in the 1970s. Wait, this is, I'm guessing, from somebody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I probably could have set that up a little bit.
Okay.
This guy has a blog where he speaks about different sightings of the Bridgewater Triangle area. And he was like you just said, a suburban news. He worked for a suburban newspaper back in the 70s.
Spoiler alert. So this is what he said. He said, as editor of a suburban newspaper in the 1970s, my duties included checking the daily police logs of area communities for possible news items. As part of my job, I spoke to and interviewed many police officers and knew quite a few of them by sight and exchanged hellos with them. One of those policemen was Sergeant Thomas Downey of the Norton, Massachusetts Police Department. A hard-working veteran police officer who did his job well, Officer Downey would have retired respected and unknown, but for one early morning incident in the summer of 1971 on Bird Hill at the edge of the haunted Hockomock Swamp.
How ironic.
There you go.
Bird Hill.
Full circle. The sergeant completed his shift in Norton and left the station and was driving through neighboring Mansfield to get to his home, one town further up the road in Easton. It was well after midnight when he reached the Bird Hill near his house. Appropriately, or perhaps ironically, the sergeant saw a bird. A massive creature with a wingspan far larger than the width of the police car.
Okay, then.
That's pretty cool. He later said that the enormous flying thing dropped down to the pavement and took a fat shit on the top of his car.
Big old watery bird shit.
Just covered it. It dropped down to the pavement and towered 2 or 3 feet above the roof of his car, making it at least 6 foot tall. The wingspan of the pterodactyl-like creature was estimated to be 10 to 12 feet.
Jesus God.
Sergeant Downey stopped his vehicle at an intersection and studied the strange winged giant. Flapping its massive wings, the gigantic bird flew straight up and over the trees before it disappeared into the darkness of the Hockomock Swamp. The Hockomock Swamp. When he got home, he thought about what he saw for a moment or two and reported it to the Easton police. A car was dispatched, but after a check of the area, no giant bird was spotted, and in the following days, we of the area news media reported the sighting merely as a routine blotter item. No hoopla, buzz, or sensationalism. Though Sergeant Downey was kidded about the encounter, most people who knew him regarded him as a serious individual, not prone to making up stories, and not one who would make false claims about what he saw. I mean, and if you think about it, what would be the fucking point of it?
For making fun of him or for...
No. For
fucking a goddamn Thunderbird.
Him making it up out of nowhere, right.
I don't know.
I saw a big fucking bird.
Maybe. It seems like one of those things like when Walter White, they kind of didn't know where he's at, so he just got down in his tidy whiteys and went out walking to kind of... Maybe he's out with another woman.
That's what I was getting ready to say, and he's trying to come up with an excuse.
And his wife's like, what were you doing? He's like, whoa.
You ever seen a pterodactyl?
You're not going to believe this shit. I was driving home, and there was a fucking bird the size of a goddamn man. It was like Mothman and a pterodactyl made a baby together. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it made me late coming home. And the reason I smell like, you know, it's not your perfume.
That's what you guys sound like when you make up excuses.
Missed it on me. Like, my go-to, my wife catches me in something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pretty straight shooter. I'm pretty honest and forthcoming about everything. But sometimes when she asks me, you know, she asks me to do something, and then she'll circle back 3 days later and be like, did you do that?
Right.
And my first instinct is to lie about it. She'll be like, did you call the bank? And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I call the bank. But then when she circles back 3 days later, be like, did you call the bank? And I'll just be like, what? So ladies, if you ask your husband a question and you are at point blank range and there's no audio obstructions, You say it nice and clear with a nice vocal authority, nice vocal projection, and he looks at you and says, "What?" You know he's about to fucking lie to you. He's about to lie to you so hard.
Well, and not only that, but I have really bad selective hearing. So if she tells me to do stuff, I'll say yes, but I'm not really even listening. I don't have any intention on doing it.
The worst is when they ask you to do something, and then in your mind, you're like, you may not say it to her, but in your mind, you're like, babe, I got no problem doing that for you. And then flash forward an hour, and you still haven't done it, and she's like, did you do this? And you're like, fuck!
Yeah.
And there's no way for you to be like, I had it in my heart. I was going to do that for you.
Yeah.
And somehow I fucked it up between now and then.
My favorite thing is just to be like, let me do it later. Let me do it tomorrow. And I fucking forget a week later.
I always tell her,
bitch, I'm like, fuck.
I always tell her, hey, let my food settle first, even if I haven't eaten. That's always a go-to because I've worn out the one, like I got to poop. I've worn that one out. So now I just tell her like, babe, let my food settle for a second. Okay.
You haven't even eaten. Well, I'm going to here shortly.
I'm
going to
show you my pee-pee later. But as of right now, let my food settle. I had a lot of chicken nuggets. Then you're in trouble for eating chicken nuggets without her. The Diet Sprite, Diet 7-Up. What are you drinking? Let's get some endorsements. What are you drinking?
I fucking wish. Urban Artifact Pinwheel.
All right. Let them know.
It's an Orange Goza. Delightful.
All right. So not only in the Bridgewater Triangle do we have aliens, demons, monsters,
pterodactyls,
thunderbirds. We've got
Shrek.
Shrek. What are you doing in my swamp? Every time my wife sticks her finger in my butt, I scream that. Never gets old, dude. Never gets old. What are you doing in my swamp?
Not the gumdrop buttons. Eat me.
They've got cults and ritualistic killings going on in the Bridgewater Triangle.
That's my favorite.
This is a newspaper article from, I think it's from the 80s at some point. Sometime in the 1980s.
Can you read this in like a the 1920s?
Freetown, the remains of a mutilated cow were discovered this week in a remote area of the Freetown Fall River State Forest.
Exactly.
I cannot continue that. Police are investigating what appears to be the second ritualistic animal killing in the same location in recent months.
That's good, right? That is good, yeah. You're good.
The headless carcass of the full-grown cow was discovered Monday by a dirt bike rider.
Hell yeah.
Freetown Police Detective Lieutenant Alan Alves. In late April, a dozen calves were slaughtered in the same spot of the 6,000-acre forest.
Damn.
Lieutenant Alves, who has investigated incidents related to satanic cults for more than 20 years. What a cool career that would
have been.
Attributed both incidents to ongoing devil worship and rituals.
It's always the devil worshipers.
It is, man. They're fucking wiener heads. The deputy believes they were sacrificed, decapitated, and dismembered in preparation for the week-long holiday known as something that's never happened in this house, the grand climax. Which runs from April 26th to May in the satanic calendar. May is the second highest holiday of their year, he said. Halloween, it just says May hyphen. I don't know what date that's supposed to fucking be. Maybe it's just the 1st of May or May in general. And second on their calendar, the first in their calendar is Halloween. Second is just fucking May. It's gotta be May. A short distance from a burned-out campfire, the detective found what he was looking for, a fresh carcass of an adult cow split in two and picked nearly clean to the bone. There's no head and there's only one hoof.
Story of my life.
Yeah, that's what the doctor said last time he looked in my asshole. Hey, buddy, you got a hoof in your butt.
Long night, Doc. You ever seen the show Mr. Hands?
And this week we have a very special new podcast to tell you guys about, the History or His Story podcast. Did you know that William Taft invented the treadmill? Or that Napoleon loved musicals? Or that Elvis wrote the Brady Bunch theme? Did you know that the previous three statements are all false? Regardless, we have your new favorite podcast. History or His Story is the new podcast from the Bramble Jam Podcast Network. It combines the love of history with the fun of a game show. It's history, camaraderie, and the idea of two truths and a lie all rolled into a podcast. Dan is a former high school principal and a 15-year high school history teacher. He takes this background, does the research, and tells his two best friends three themed stories from the United States history. One of the three stories is completely made up. His two buddies, along with the listening audience around the world, has to guess which story is his story. Whether it's the Wild West, the Roaring Twenties, sports, pop culture, or every major war, you'll laugh and learn at the same time listening to History or His Story. And the bros of Brohio checked out this podcast. These guys are doopy and loopy just like us. It's like a game show for your ears. You play along, it's engaging, it gets you going. I couldn't ask for a more fun podcast to listen to. You can join in on the fun by listening and subscribing to History or His Story wherever you're listening to this podcast, or head to HisStoryPodcast.com. That's HisStoryPodcast.com.
Oh, Rob Dog. Oh, Rob Dog. Jeez. Ooh. Sweetheart, you were absolutely incredible. You took me round and round five times. What's your secret?
Oh, well, it's this little blue chewable pill that I just got called Blue Chew.
Oh, Rob Dog. Tell me more about this Blue Chew.
Oh, yeah. It's a little blue chewable pill that's prescribed online. Helps me make more stops here in the trailer park. It's chewable, so it's super handy.
So you can take it anytime you're ready to rock?
Yeah.
Oh my god, Rob Dog, I am gushing.
That's right, Antoinette. Ever since I started using Blue Chew, everything is so much different. It's like I added an extra tank of gas.
Is it like that Viagra and Cialis stuff?
Yes, it's the same active FDA ingredients. This stuff is bad to my bone. I mean, the bone.
If you think that extra is what you need, hit up BlueChew.com, just like the color blue. If you use the promo code BROHIO, that's BROHIO at BlueChew.com, you're going to get your first shipment free minus your $5 shipping. They're going to take care of that for you.
Yeah, and email us a screenshot of your order, and the bros will send you some free stickers.
Promo code BROHIO at BlueChew.com. You will thank us later.
Animals, maybe coyotes and foxes, probably picked the skeleton clean. When this was found Monday night, there was still a lot of meat on it. As in the killings this past spring, said Lieutenant Alves, the cow was drained of its blood. There's not even a drop of blood on any leaf here or on the ground anywhere, he noted. The detective said, that's fucking disgusting. The detective said devil worshippers are known to drink the blood of sacrificial animals from a skull or a silver chalice during a black mass and other rituals, believing it to be
all of its fucking blood.
I don't think they're that thirsty.
No, I'm good, and you can pass the skull.
If you want to be a part of our club, you got to drink all of it.
That's nasty.
Keep
dude.
Going.
That's so gross.
It's horrible.
It's said to be a symbolic of Satan's blood. The quote, they use the heart like a host in a Catholic mass, he said. And the rituals always involve sex, chanting, yes, and mind-altering drugs.
Man, I'm sorry, but besides drinking blood, Satanism sounds way cooler.
There's a lot of chanting in my sex. Like, oh, I can't do that. Well, my fucking back. My fucking back hurts. Although there is a dairy farm near the Dartmouth entrance to the forest and just a short distance from where the mutilated animals were discovered, Lieutenant Alves said police received no reports of stolen cows.
They're just random cows then?
You ever been cow tipping? The animals may have been purchased rather than stolen for the rich. God-fearing Satanists. That works out pretty well.
Yeah, at least they're not thieves.
You may think that I'm one of these Satanists that out here running amok, but I'm a Satanist of God is what I'm doing out here. I'm doing the Lord's work for Satan.
Maybe it's just like population control. Maybe there's just an overabundance of cows.
Maybe they're just...
And they're eating all the grass.
Raw ribeye. I love steak. So yeah. I don't know about drinking blood from the skull of a cow, though. Seems a little far-fetched for me.
That is kind of weird, yeah. I did have a Puerto Rican uncle who would eat raw hamburger meat, so...
Really?
Maybe just a bunch of Puerto Ricans.
I used to eat onion rings off my grandpa's dick.
Only the ones from Frisch's Big Boy, though.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Ugh. He'd say, oh, you like the onion rings on Grandpa's wiener? How about that tartar sauce on there? How about some of that tartar sauce on my wiener? I know you like that fat boy. You like some of that fat boogie wudgie fucking... You're a fat, pudgy-wudgy boy.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Where aren't you? You puck wudgie.
I think I might have been a puck wudgie in a before life.
Explain a lot.
It would explain a lot. Although there is... Yeah, I already got that part. So they're godly cow-stealing people.
Yeah, yeah.
The animals may have been purchased rather than stolen for the rituals, he said. He speculated the animals could have been trucked into the area and led to the site of their deaths.
That's fucking terrible.
I mean, as long as they bought them and paid for them fully.
I guess. Well, it's sad. I am sad that animals have to die.
It is sad.
But they taste so good. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm not disrespecting any of the vegetarians out there. I think that's a pretty good lifestyle. Probably something I should adhere to myself, but just can't do it.
No, there's no way.
Can't be doing it. There are animal auctions where people show up to buy goats and other animals for this kind of thing, especially this time of the year. Lieutenant Alves said it is difficult to prosecute those responsible for animal killings of this nature. I mean, how could you? While there are laws against animal cruelty, as in the case of arson, you pretty much have to catch them in the act. But he added, we're familiar with people involved in the areas and the cults. Thank goodness we haven't seen any human sacrifice, he said. Although we do get rumors of it, we haven't found any evidence of it since the murders in 1979.
I think I'd be more okay with human sacrifice than animal sacrifice, honestly.
I think that's what they're doing to us right now.
Maybe.
Honestly, with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
They're just getting rid of the ones they don't want. Man. Dude, I don't know if...
It's the 5G towers, bro.
It is. I don't
That's
know.
So fucking stupid.
It's really fucking stupid. People in Africa are like, wait, no, it's not the fucking 5G towers.
They're fucking getting slaughtered by Corona, but they have no 5G towers.
I like North Korea. Kim Jong-un's like, none here. None here. They're reporting no coronavirus illnesses. There's a prison.
Well, nobody's allowed to fucking go anywhere there. That's why.
Oh, I bet you they had to have had it. They have to have it there. They have to.
I mean, I don't. Can anyone just come in and out of that country?
I think there's a vetting process, but I do believe they allow, I mean, Big Dick Trump walked right across the border with Kim Jong-un. He could have had it then.
That's true.
And launched it. You know, I think they do allow some, you know.
Dennis Rodman.
Passing back and forth. Right. That's all it would take. Is one.
If any motherfucker has corona, it's Dennis Rodman.
He's like, I am the coronavirus.
Right. He looks like it.
But in Ohio, I was reading the news today, there's a prison, Marion Correctional.
Mm-hmm.
We might have people from there that work there listening. They've got like almost 2,000 coronavirus confirmed cases.
God.
The prison only holds like 2,100 people or something like that. And they have like 1,900 confirmed coronavirus inmates, along with over 100 staff members.
Holy shit.
And they say the reason it's so high there is because they've have enough testing. They've tested every inmate in the facility at this point.
Furlough my ass, man.
But
fuck
God,
that.
They had one officer die from it.
Oh, man.
They haven't had any inmates die from it. It's just spreading, man. To say it's spreading like wildfire, it's kind of cliche, but...
And Florida's open back up now, so it's only going to get higher.
Spreading like AIDS in the 1980s is what's spreading like.
Right.
Gee, there's a lot of butt cheek spreading going on in the prison. That's why they're all fucking getting sick off each other. Playing each other's assholes like trombones.
Not courtesy flushing.
I like to get my butthole played like a saxophone sometime. One of the most famous legends of the Bridgewater Triangle is the red-headed hitchhiker. We're not talking,
I think we know him.
Yeah, we're not talking about Newgrave either. We're talking about the real red-headed hitchhiker right here. And this is on Route 44. Rob's laughing really hard over there. You all right?
Yeah,
I'm fine. Oh, this is on Route 44. As the man walked up the road on his way to find a payphone, this is one of the one of the stories goes. This is,
do we need to explain what a payphone is?
Payphone is a telephone now that you can use calls with a quarter. It doesn't cost a quarter any longer. But
Baba da Baby, it's a boy.
Yeah.
Remember that commercial?
I do remember that commercial very well. And that's why I used to call my mom collect when wrestling practice was over. You have a collect call from, please come pick up, pick up. And then she, your call has been declined. And then 10 minutes later, she'd roll up.
Oh, how was wrestling practice?
Just fucking okie-dokie and collect. We used to do that with the...
Every day, dude.
We used to do the pretty much the same exact thing with the mail. We would like be at work and we'd write each other letters, but we'd flip the return addresses and we'd put it in without a stamp so that it would get sent returned to sender, but it would, you'd put their...
Yeah. That's perfect.
We thought we were so fucking cool.
That's perfect.
And it would just be pictures of like dicks and stuff.
Well, to the same tune, whenever I was in middle school and high school, you could call the EPA.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They would be like, if you would like more literature about the Environmental Protection Agency, please tell us your name. And then I'd be like, big cock sucking dick motherfucker.
It's like the most like just stupid kids thing ever.
And like, please give us your address. I'm like, 444 Main Street. I give him my home address. And then
give him your real address.
And then like a fucking 4 days later, my mom like, who the fuck is sending us this weird ass shit?
Oh, shit.
Please give us your name. Pussy sucking my pussy sucking dick dick the dick man. And then the mail would come. She'd be like, who's pussy sucking dick man? Oh, that's for me, Mom. They fucked my name up again. You get four of these every day. You need to stop. She's getting so mad about this. And then I remember one day, this is the best part. Like, I became infatuated. This is so fucking embarrassing. I become so infatuated with calling this EPA place and getting this fucking
addicted. It's a fucking gateway drug.
Butthole liquor. Send it. And I, like, I went to the phone. I went to get on it in the dining room. This is like landline, no cell phones. And my mom's on the phone, and I'm like, oh man, I need to fucking call the fucking. I need to call the fucking place. I need to order this mail today. I haven't done it today. And so I went in her room.
I'm gonna withdraw.
I went in her room and I waited for her to get off the phone. And then when she got off the phone, I picked up the landline in her room and I called her like, thank you for calling the EPA. What's your name? And I'm like, cocksucking bitch dick. I'm a fucking...
You've been thinking about it all day.
I'm a fucking dickweed. Fuck you, Dad. Suck my fucking dick, Dad. And she was standing in the doorway of the bedroom the entire time I'm talking into this phone, like, boy, sucking my butthole, bitch.
Fucking talking nasties into this. It's like a little kid on Xbox Live.
And she's like, it takes her finger, snap, she hangs up the phone. She's like,
so pissed.
First off, who are you talking to? And I'm like,
the EPA.
I told her the truth. Wasn't fucking buying it. She wasn't buying it, dude. She was not buying it. I said,
you set the fucking phone. You're like, I want to fuck your ass. Fucking look at my dick.
And everything you said would come through. I can imagine there was. I don't think there was computer automated stuff at the time.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there was some like 17-year-old kid like, holy fucking god, this guy has such a fucked up name.
Oh,
send this to him. And I said, all of his letters, it's me. I've been doing it.
Dude, that makes me think of that fucking thing on IM. What was it? Were you, it was like when you were deaf and you would go on there and, or like, or you would call somebody or you'd, it was like a text to call thing or something.
Yeah.
And you would type a message out and they would call somebody and they would have to read their message to the person that they're calling.
I don't know about this service.
Dude, we used to fuck with that shit all the time.
You never heard
and
of
we just someone. You just write the dirtiest shit like it and then the operator would have to read it to the person. I don't remember what that was. If you remember what that was, let me know. Tell us your story. That's some fun shit.
Apparently,
fuck, I forgot all about that.
That's fantastic.
Oh man, yeah.
My mom, I wish she would have saved all those envelopes to let everyone know what a fucking invalid I was.
I just want to know what they said. Oh, they like what the names
they
are.
They were bad. You porky dick, big bitch. Chick with a dick sack and balls.
big fat bitch with a dick.
The dumbest stuff, man. Oh, where was I? The red-headed hitchhiker. Now, this is one of the how one of the stories goes. He would find a payphone. The man walked up the road on his way to find a payphone. He saw a red-headed stranger. He asked the man for help, but the man was silent.
Hey, don't you speak, fucker?
Upon asking a second time, the man noticed that the stranger's face was contorted and ghostly. Out of fright, the man ran back to the car to tell his wife, who he found standing outside the car. Terrified.
I'm like that whenever I see a redhead, too.
God, what the fuck is that?
How do you get rid of all them freckles?
When he asked what was wrong, she said that she turned on the radio and heard deranged laughter and a taunting voice that called her by name. That's kind of scary.
That is spooky.
Another story says a driver is going along Route 44 at night, usually near the Seekonk Rehoboth line, when they encounter a well-built man. Why does it have to fucking...
I know.
Why does it have like a... He's a really well-built hitchhiker. I don't know why this is in the fucking story here.
He was really well-built.
Between the ages of 45 and 55, so he kept in shape. He has red hair and usually a beard and is dressed in red flannel shirt. They're picking up Al Borland.
I don't think so, Tim.
Damn, you beat me to it.
Usually a beard and is dressed in a red flannel shirt with either jeans or brown work boots, work pants and work boots. Sometimes he is well kept, but other times he appears disheveled with an overgrown beard, dirty pants, and an untucked shirt. Many times he appears solid to the drivers, but not quite all there. The biggest discrepancy in the physical description of the hitchhiker is with his eyes. Some say that they look normal, but just don't feel right. Some say that they are black and empty. Others say they are glowing and lifeless. Someone is another story. It says someone is driving along the road, usually alone, when they see the man on the side of the road. They stop to pick him up, and the hitchhiker gets into the passenger or the back seat. He remains silent, ignoring questions and often staring at the Good Samaritan.
Get the fuck out of my car.
He eventually vanishes before their eyes or is no longer there when they turn to look. This is usually followed by some type of audio finale where he laughs at them, yells, or taunts them. God damn, that's scary. One person that wrote into this newspaper said, she said her name was Alice, claims her and her friends saw the ghost. Some of us snuck out one night and walked down that whole road all the way to the railroad tracks. We think that we saw him. We all did. Let me tell you, when we saw that misty figure in the shape of a man, we bolted down the road back to the house as fast as we could. While Alice and her friends might have seen something, maybe even a ghost, it's only the location of the sighting that connects it to the hitchhiker. According to research, he has never been seen as just a mist. Another woman named Wanda became interested in the history of the ghost after having seen him in her car one night. She was alone and saw him in the rearview mirror. The radio started to scan the stations and then became so loud that it shook the car. The man disappeared and began to laugh on the radio. I looked into it, but I found nothing about him. Who this guy is a mystery. Why he is here is a mystery. Hitchhikers that appear... There's also a lot of people that say that they... while driving down this road, this hitchhiker will just randomly appear in their back seat, just like fucking full body apparition.
Uh-huh.
And he'll start screaming. This is fucking makes your hair stand up. But he'll just appear in the back seat and he'll start screaming Bible verses at you, like just Bible prophecies and Bible verses. And he just starts fucking screaming them at you. And then eventually you mentally break down enough and he just vanishes from the vehicle.
Nice.
Usually, that's some scary shit, dude.
Yeah.
And there was a story of a murderer more recently that was said to be roaming through the Bridgewater Triangle area. On December 28th of 2014, a resident of North Quincy Street was walking his dog in a 20-acre wooded area near the Abington town line when he came across 20-year-old Millet's dismembered... This is the lady's last name. Millet's dismembered remains... that were among a pile of stacked wood about 50 yards from his house. Underneath Millet's body, police found the remains of Schufelt. She was a 50-year-old female, which had been there longer and had decomposed to mostly bones, police said. No arrests have been made in the case, but that's not from lack of effort, according to Plymouth County District Attorney Tim Cruz.
The investigation into the horrific killings of these two women is active and ongoing, Cruz said. Investigators have not said what may have connected the two women. I know it connected them. But interviews with their loved ones portrayed them as generous people. That is code for prostitutes who became vulnerable due to substance abuse and trusting their ways. And these two women were ladies of the night.
Oh.
That's two things. That's one thing that these ladies had in common. They were
bless them.
Fucking hookers. Shufelt, a U.S. Navy veteran and a mother of five, for years battled drug addiction and mental health problems and was periodically homeless, according to her friends and family. Prior to her death, she was living in an apartment in Quincy and taking college classes to become a substance abuse counselor. I feel like I've heard this story before. Millette, at age 15, moved away from her grandparents' home in Holbrook to live with her mother in Brockton. The FBI profilers grabbed this case, these two women, and what they did, they can't say, they don't know who killed these two women.
Okay.
And disposed of their bodies in the Bridgewater Triangle here. But they did say that more than likely the murderer will strike again, that the profile fits that of a serial killer. So
okay.
He might not have, if he's disposing of women that don't really have a family, no one necessarily looking for them, who knows how many times he struck already.
Yeah, there's no telling.
But this stuff is all going down in the Bridgewater Triangle.
I need to take a break. I need to put the fear of Satan in my kids because they're not doing their homework and listening to my wife. So.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Rob threatened his kids. They're getting back to work.
It's okay. They're good now.
And next, this is the same link to the same. This is a blogger that went to the location of the murders. And the blogger says, hiking that land with a friend last fall left me sick. And a lot of people that go to the Bridgewater Triangle say they feel this urge to jump off cliffs, this negative energy that makes them feel sick. But most importantly, like a feeling of dread, like they want to end their lives. They get this feeling when they go in this Bridgewater Triangle area. And this blogger says, I felt like I couldn't breathe, like my lungs were being crushed. Even though the area is archaeologically fascinating, I would never go back. I was horrified to learn of the murders and dumping of these women and chilled to the bone when I looked at a map of where we hiked last fall and noticed how close we were to the spot where these two innocent women who should still be alive today were so carelessly discarded.
It's wild.
Yeah, and they're, like I said, a lot of people claim that when they go to this Bridgewater Triangle, they want to jump off a fucking cliff. I mean, I feel that every day.
Fuck, but I know. That's called being an adult.
You should never jump off a cliff. We would never encourage anyone to inflict harm upon themselves. So stay away from the Bridgewater Triangle, I guess, is what there is to learn.
That's all it boils down to.
This is a really, really weird story. Anytime kids go missing, I get sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Excuse me. A four-and-a-half-year-old named Alden Johnson, his screams were heard by neighbors who interpreted the cries as being made by a child in pain. One witness thought a child had been struck by a car. Another suggested that it sounded like a child was snatched by a kidnapper. Before we go any further, I read all of the newspaper articles from this specific incident. This is not one of them hokey urban legend things. This is a legitimate incident. The search began immediately because they thought the child had been snatched by a kidnapper. The area was combed in a 2-mile radius around the homestead. Ponds had been dynamited pumped out.
Wait. They thought the kid may have been in the pond, so they dynamited it.
I mean, if he's in there, he's dead at that point.
I guess that's true.
A sad way of thinking about it, but he's already fucking...
How would they know if he was in there or not if they blew it all up?
Gates and I'm going to meet Jesus.
they would have sent his body up to the fucking stratosphere.
I'm going to blow the meat on your butt up into the heaven. I like to send my butt meat to Jesus.
Butt meat to Jesus. That needs to be a song.
my butt meat to Jesus. Jesus didn't like my butt meat, but my uncle did.
I don't know. I don't fucking
grasping at the straws here.
Hey, we've all been there.
Ponds had been dynamited and pumped out. There was a ray of hope when nothing was found inside the ponds. Houses and barns had been searched. The possibility of kidnapping or that he had been carried off by a hit-and-run driver was considered and ruled out. That's really fucking sad.
Yeah.
There remained only the woods. An experienced woodsman and state police had searched them. 24 hours later, the boy's family and searchers began to fear the worst. The young Aldie was dead in the woods, having perished from exposure. The night before had brought a storm to the area, and the temperatures had teetered around freezing. That's sad. Pounding the area with freezing rain.
Ugh.
The search for the boy was the biggest and most extensive search for any lost person to date at the time.
Wow.
Night was close to falling again on that cold March evening when local Civil Conservation Corps members working in a nearby swamp 2 miles away from where Aldie disappeared. Aldie, this is a really cheap fucking grocery store, isn't it?
Aldie? Yeah, okay, yeah,
it is. Just make sure.
That yeah.
They decided to take matters into their own hands. They were packing up to leave their camp and head to their next assignment in Foxborough when the idea came to the men to go search for the young boy. They had just started searching the swamp when out of nowhere, the little boy appeared and casually walked up to one of them. The boy looked very happy and not lost at all.
Hey, pussies! What are you looking for?
Aldie smiled, held up a bundle of twigs, and asked the CCC worker if he wanted to buy some flowers.
How many of these can you put in your dick?
The Civil Conservation Corps worker said of the state that the boy was in when he found him. He seemed to be in a daze, but he was smart, he said. Want to buy some flowers? And he held out what he had. Sprigs and limbs of shrub growth in his hand.
I ain't buying this bullshit. Get some real flowers.
You better try harder, boy. Get back in them woods. I said, sure, and he seemed delighted. The worker yelled out, I found him, and the men all cheered. Young Aldie was asked if he had been afraid. He hadn't been. He had just been picking flowers, he explained, and he could sell them. He was still trying to sell the shrubs and twigs for which he started out on an expedition that brought about the greatest mobilization and searches in the state's recent history.
He's a true businessman.
Safe with his parents, the boy reported remembering nothing. He didn't seem to know where he was or that any time had gone by since he disappeared. That's insane, weird. Or what had made him scream so frightfully. All that the little boy remembered was that suddenly he was compelled to leave his sister and go into the woods to pick some flowers. And that if he did that, he could sell those flowers and he could be rich.
Okay.
You got another thing coming. When he looked at the twigs, he still saw flowers. He never felt the cold, the rain, and he had no memory of the CCC workers' bonfire, which had been going all night in a swamp that is only known today for one thing, the home of Anawan Rock. And Anawan Rock is, I don't have it covered in here, but Anawan Rock is a huge fucking rock that they've built a building around here in the Bridgewater Triangle. And it's got like all kinds of weird fucking carvings on it, like hieroglyphics type shit, but it's not hieroglyphics, it's just weird, just pictures and drawings on this rock that are carved into it that are really, really old.
Are there any butts?
there's a guy flying a kite with his dick.
I always wanted to do that.
Watch this. Sorry. I didn't tie that string tight enough. I got a little dick too. This next one is this is kind of fucking stupid. Okay. A lot of people, and there was a lot of different stories to go with this. Many people in the area claim that when they're driving through the Bridgewater Triangle area, that they are ridiculed by other drivers that are just...
This is fucking stupid.
Sorry, bro.
It's your own research.
But they're ridiculed by, I guess, road raging drive. Like it's a rural area. There's not much there.
Yeah.
Okay. But these people will drive up and drive through the area and they'll be chased and ran off the road by these like phantom drivers.
Oh yeah.
And there's talks of people that are chased off and ran off the road by phantom truck drivers.
Okay.
There was one incident where the guy, my wife is up there laying down the fucking law right now.
Are any of the drivers Kyle Larson?
It's fucked up.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. There's one guy that came forward with his story. He said that he was driving. He was kind of, you know, minding his own business, coming back from his girlfriend's house. And this car ran up behind him, honking its horn, swerving, trying to drive him off the road. And
assholes.
He thought to himself, and then it went around him and drove up, you know, took off way ahead of him. But then he had this fleeting thought in his mind that these people were going to stop ahead,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to get out, and they were going to try and fuck him. They're trying to, not fuck him, but like, fuck
yeah,
him.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're going to fuck him. And then lo and behold, he gets up the road in another half, three quarters of a mile, and these people are outside of their vehicle, join hands, and they're all across the roadway, several of them. And they have the roadway completely blocked. And he said he panicked, and when he did that, his foot slipped off, you know, hit the clutch, and somehow he got mixed up, and he crammed the fucking gas to the point.
How do you fuck that up?
I mean, if you're that scared, he was 16. I think he said he was
like, okay.
16 or 17. Those kids don't have any fucking... No 16-year-old has any fucking business driving. Let's just...
Yeah, that's true.
I think that should be reserved for like 18.
And I learned to drive on a stick, and I will second that. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
All it was my mom teaching me and then fucking cracking up every time I would get pissed. You'd take me up the biggest hills where I'd have to stop at a stop sign on a hill.
What a bitch.
And I'd start fucking rolling backwards and freaking out. And start stalling it, and she would just sit there and laugh like an asshole. Just hear that fucking clutch burning.
I remember those.
Ugh.
Oh. But he said that he crammed the gas. And when he put his head down and he drove right through these, like,
Right
through the people. And when he looked up and looked in his rear view and started hitting his brakes, there was no one in the road. There was no car stopped. There was no one in the road.
Weird.
But then, like he said, it kind of crossed his mind that maybe he fucking hit them so hard that they went off the road.
Fucking flew around.
Blew them, dusted them in the woods. So he drove back. And there was nothing. There was no.
Ooh, that's
there
creepy.
Was no blood. There was nothing, man.
Wild.
Yeah, that's really. I think that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully that happens to me one day.
That'd be sweet.
One Saturday afternoon, a mother, a daughter were driving in Bridgewater. Were driving near the Bridgewater Correctional Complex. What they saw that day will haunt them for the rest of their lives. Out of the stories of the Bridgewater Triangle, this one has to be up there on the list of the most disturbing and bizarre. The first thing that they noticed as they approached the thing was a pine tree completely bent to the ground in the middle of the street. As they neared closer, they saw what was causing such an unnatural occurrence. It was a black, man-like being with huge, bat-like wings standing on the top of the tree that was now on the street. This kind of goes along with the Thunderbird thing as well.
Yeah.
The mother described it as looking like a tall man hunched down a bit in a skin-tight black suit with large and almost bat-type wings. He was standing but hunched down on the pine tree. His weight was holding down the top. He saw us as we looked at each other for just a few minutes. Then he straightened, leaped, and flew over the top of the trees on the other side of the road.
Motherfucking Mothman.
The pine tree had been standing on bounced back up slowly and rocked back and forth a few times before stopping in its normal standing position, and that was all that we saw. And there's a lot of claims of not only this flying creature, and I think that one thing that we've never covered, the Jersey Devil and the Beast of Bray Road.
Yeah.
That fascinates me because there's so many different people that have claimed to have seen this goddamn thing.
Chupacabra is like that for me. I love the chupacabra.
The goat sucker. I do love the chupacabra.
And they taste delicious. Oh, wait, those are chimichangas. Sorry.
You were talking about chimichangas the entire time.
Yeah, I don't even know what chupacabra is.
What the fuck is a chupacabra, bro?
Can you get that some Taco Bell?
Yeah, as long as it comes with sour cream on it, I'll fucking eat it. Oh, man. And we got some sideshow performers that come from the area around Bridgewater Triangle. It's Bridgewater Triangle is actually the birthplace of two famous sideshow performers.
Yes.
The first is the Human Skeleton. He was a man named Isaac Sprague who lived in the mid-1800s and was so skinny and odd-looking that he became the original thin man of circus fame. He weighed less than 43 pounds. at the time of his passing. And they say
that's crazy
that he was so fucking skinny that he used to go, he could use a Dorito to go hang gliding.
What the fucking stupid shit?
Oh, then the other sideshow performer is General Tom Thumb, who stood only 25 inches
tall. Holy shit.
That's not that tall at all.
I'm pooped bigger than that.
Yeah, dude, I wear taller socks than that motherfucker.
See, we didn't be able to see him in my front yard right now.
He did acts and costumes as well as comedy and other routines. And not, dude,
the dude's already 25 inches tall and you're going to fucking put him in costumes? That's
fucked up. Have you ever heard the joke about the gay midget before?
I don't know, maybe.
He came out of the cupboard.
God damn it.
Some of you are like, what's that mean? He didn't come out of the closet, he came out of the cupboard, because he's short.
Does this thing still work?
No, nope. Definitely not. I think it does, but I'd have to push a bunch of
different
buttons.
I was just putting a random button to see what was going to come on.
You want to fuck on me?
I think I've definitely wiped that memory card.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was conflicted here about midget jokes, and I was trying to think of some really good ones, but I just kept on coming up short. So,
yeah, the best thing about those is they always go over their heads.
I was looking at short people jokes, and there was one that said, "You're so short, you do push-ups underneath the door."
Yeah, so that was my go-to back in the day.
What the fuck does that even mean, dude?
Oh God!
Oh, that's so good.
Do you remember any of your favorite your mama jokes from when we were children?
I don't, man.
Oh man,
there was a lot of fucking good ones, and there were some stupid ass ones.
God, I'm trying to think of a good one. Your mom is so fat.
Those were always the best ones.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm drawing a blank right here. Your mom is so fat she wore high heels and struck oil. Oil went to -$40 a barrel today. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. So what that means is it's not going to cost anything to drive a car soon. There's such a bun. I love it. I fucking love it.
It's fucking great, man. Yeah, it's half the cost for me to fill up my truck for work now.
I feel bad for people that get their wages from that, but I love paying 85 cents a gallon. It really makes me happy. All right, next we have a lot of Bigfoot sightings, and this is our last subject here for the Bridgewater Triangle. Bigfoot in particular has been seen and reported many times, usually entering or exiting the swamp.
Hey. What are you doing in my swamp?
Get out of my swamp.
Or creeping along the edges. In 1970, many people saw a hairy 7-foot-tall monster. That was actually just Rob Dog on some stilts.
Man, it sucks.
Sometimes standing upright, but sometimes running off or on. This Bigfoot's fucking, he's a freak. He runs on four legs. Footprints, could be a bear, I don't know. Footprints were found in the mud, and for 2 days and nights, Bridgewater Police and Massachusetts State Police with attack dogs staged a hunt for a giant bear, even though bears have long been extinct in the region. On April 8th, two policemen sitting in their cruiser had an especially terrifying Bigfoot encounter. One of the men stated that, without warning, something began to pick up the rear of the car. God damn.
Wow. I'm fixing to fuck this tailpipe.
Wow.
Big old red rocket Bigfoot dick.
Needless to say, oh man. Where is it? I spun the car around and got my spotlight on something that looked like a bear running on the corner of a house. Needless to say, no bear was ever found. Bridgewater resident Joseph M. DeAndre. Sorry, I was thinking about Exotic Joe there for a second. Because he's on my face. I have him on my Facebook. Is Joseph Passage Maldonado or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had me all mixed up for a second. Has been instrumental in investigating and publishing these reports. Since 1978, he has collected sighting reports and gone into the swamp searching for evidence of the Hockomock monster. One person told him that years ago, while hunting, his uncle had shot an animal that looked like a bear. After the shot, the boy and his uncle heard a cry that seemed half animal and half human. The animal disappeared into the woods, but they later found blood and long brown hair on the leaves. The same witness claimed that he and a family were picnicking near a pond when they heard a loud splash like an object.
Somebody's shitting in the motherfucking water.
heard a large object falling into the water. When they went to the water's edge, they saw several dead fish floating on top of the water. That was a big old stinky fucking turd, wasn't it?
Definitely.
I took a shit in the lake and killed about 15 carp, 3 trout, 2 crappy. I took a crappy and killed some crappies.
Deondrad also published a report by a West Bridgewater woman who looked into her garden one night and saw a very tall bipedal creature covered with dark hair eating a pumpkin it was holding in its hands.
That's what I do.
Desperate ass bitch. Who eats fucking pumpkins?
I don't fucking know.
I'm fixing to eat your ass like it's a motherfucking pumpkin. I'm going to get all the seeds out your ass. I'm going to eat pumpkin seeds out your butt.
Never been a fan of, well, eating pumpkin seeds.
Never been a fan of eating pumpkin seeds out of another man's butt before?
No. Never been a fan of pumpkin seeds. I don't even like carving pumpkins because they make my fucking skin itch.
Yeah, I don't like them either. It looked at her with reddish-orange eyes, then ran into the woods, taking the pumpkin with it. Joseph himself caught a glimpse of the elusive creature in the winter of 1978. He saw a, quote, big, tall, and strange-looking creature very slowly walking down a small hill about 200 feet away. Because he viewed the creature from behind, he was unable to see its face or legs, but described it as at least 6 feet tall, weighing no less than 400 pounds, and
damn,
covered with long, dark brown hair.
Huh.
Also, I didn't put it in the research. There's another thing called Profile Rock or Profile Mountain. There is a fucking mountain, piece of rock out here. And from the side of this rock, it is the perfect profile of a human man's face. And
hell yeah.
A lot of people that go there say that, specifically around the swamp, they will see just flashes of fire. They'll see Native Americans doing dances, like phantom Native Americans dancing in the swamp. There's a lot of apparitions that people see when they go to this area.
Nice.
But this profile rock, people claim to go there and want and just get the urge to jump off the cliff, to hurt themselves. And I think that's what it's called. It might not be called Profile Rock. It might be called something else. Oh, there it is. See, it's like a fucking...
Oh, yeah, I see
its face with its...
Yeah.
Headdress.
Hell yeah.
Really creepy stuff, dude.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like weird shit like that.
So if some of you might live near the Bridgewater Triangle, there in near Wampanoag or where the fuck this place is at, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear if you have any stories about the Bridgewater Triangle. I, for one, have no interest in going there.
I'd like to go. That'd be fun.
Because I don't want to... Yeah, I would definitely go. I feel like...
I just want to see some apparitions, some ghostly Native Americans dancing and shit.
We've talked about this before, Rob. I believe that what we have right now, we just come into this basement and shoot the shit for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both so thankful that you guys tune in, even during all this uncertainty and all everything that's going on.
We don't get why, but I mean, hey.
We're so thankful for you guys to listen.
Hello, Emily. Be careful, there's glass in that trash can.
But I think we have the opportunity to do so much more, whether it's like, I want us to do a fucking cartoon.
Right.
And we can both draw. Yep. Both of us can draw really well, but we can't animate. We're not animators. I don't have the time to teach myself how to animate.
Right.
And if any of you have any tips on getting us going down the road of starting our own animated cartoon, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
We'd have a lot of fun with it.
Subject,
sure.
Cartoon. And we'd love to, we could throw you some dough to get this thing going if you are an animator. But then I think we had did some paranormal outings where we did some researching and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just got a GoPro. I don't know what else you need, but we've got Zooms. We've got stuff to record. We've got cameras and...
Look, we have everything that we'd possibly need.
I don't fucking know. We probably don't. I mean, we need some Ghostbusters. We need the thing that you step on that sucks the ghost up in case you find it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that we are Swiss Army knife and we're only using one blade. It's because we're fathers of three.
Very true.
With elementary and middle school age dropouts now at this point. We have fucking dropouts because they don't go to school any longer.
Now they're freeloaders.
And we don't have any time for anything besides what we do. But I, in my heart, the biggest thing I would like for us to do an animated series.
It'd be a blast. For sure.
We're just us, me, you, and Bill Wilkins travel around the world like Scooby-Doo almost, trying to uncover the truth of many of these legends.
That'd be so cool.
We go to the grassy knoll. We have a time machine, and we can teleport into different times, and we can find out the truth about 9/11. We can find out the truths about what happened on the grassy knoll. Yeah. Bigfoot. All of it.
Just, yeah. That'd be fucking sweet.
I know.
Somebody make that happen with us.
Yeah. Help us out.
Yeah.
Or point us in the direction. Preferably not Pixar. I already checked that. I got a quote.
There's all these people that do all these fucking animated things for other podcasts. Like, I see it all the time where, like Theo Von's podcast, he'll be sitting there telling a story and someone animates that story.
There's
gotta happening.
There has to be an easy way that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Because if you would have asked me when we first started making this podcast, if you'd been like, how do you make a cover art that says Brohio Podcast, the Bridgewater Triangle episode?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I have no fucking clue how to do that. I can rip that out in 10 seconds now.
Yeah.
And we've both learned so much through this, but I'm so overwhelmed trying to go down the animation route. It's very overwhelming.
It just takes a long time.
It does take a long time.
A really long time.
I just want to show up and use the voice.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. All right, let's just put that out there.
Fuck it. Yep.
All right, you will get full credit. Let us know. Conversate with us. I know you're locked up at home right now, and you want to do something like this. You're tired of your dad yelling at you.
Yeah.
You're tired of your uncle or your stepdad, Jeff, drinking all your Mountain Dew and hiding your Pokemon cards. Help us out. Throw us a bone. Suck on our bone. Yeah.
You said throw us a bone. I said throw us a boner.
Yeah.
Please.
I don't know why I just... Fucking for someone.
What the fuck is that?
There's a half-naked Chinaman on the desktop of my computer, and I couldn't remember. It's the one where the Issei Sagawa.
Oh yeah. Yeah, okay. That's all of a sudden popped up. I'm like, holy shit! I don't know what's more troubling, his face or his nipple.
Yeah, dude, look at that. Look at that. Imagine that resting on your back while he fucking. Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
All right. Thanks for listening to this week.
Thank you, guys.
A fucking train wreck.
Hopefully somebody's listening.
Someone call the EPA and give them your name and address. See if that envelope thing still works.
Please do it.
We'll do it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Love you guys.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.